This is a lesson I prepared for the workshop in Montgomery a few weeks ago, and I want to share it with you. It was a lesson that I did maybe 15, 20 years ago, but just modernized it. And I certainly hope that you get what I saw in the lesson. The title of the lesson they gave me was When Oceans Rise. When Oceans Rise. The text comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 24. The Bible reads, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the ragings of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? But he commanded even the winds and the water, and they obey him. What manner of man is this when oceans are rising, storms are raging, prevailing winds are mixing up and messing up and rooting up many lives? What manner of man is this? I am here to proclaim to you that Jesus is the man we need in our boat. On Wednesday, April 27th, 2016, people in the state of Alabama reflected back on their experiences of April 27, 2011. Storm ravaged the southeast, reaching and touching the lives as far as New York City. Out of 348 related deaths in the state of Alabama alone, 238 tornado-related deaths were confirmed by the Storm Prediction Center. Out of 348, 238 were right here in this state. We should be able to relate to the physical and mental damage of raging winds and rising water, creating havoc in our lives today. The havoc that I want to speak about are the storms of a mental and spiritual state, more violent and more devastating, leaving a person spiritually vanquished, void of spiritual hopes. And these storms are taking place in the lives of people every day. Every day. What manner of man is this? This is a man that can calm the storms in our lives if we just take the opportunity to know him. To know him. All he asks is, let Jesus get in the boat with us. My brothers and sisters, we are eyewitnesses to the ragings of the storm in this spiritual, wicked world that we live in. We see the damage of drugs and alcohol. We see the violent temperaments. We see all the inhumane things people are doing today. It amazes me how a man can order cats on Craigslist and just kill them. Just for that purpose and that purpose alone. It amazes me how grown men can sodomize little children. That amazes me. That confuses me because I know they know better. But yet, when we begin to look at the tendencies of this wicked world we live in, we can clearly see that men need Jesus. They need Jesus. The world sometimes wants us to believe that it's just a sickness or an illness. I agree from a worldly perspective. But I'm not looking just at the world. I'm looking at the spiritual wickedness that has devastated the lives of hundreds of thousands, even millions, my brothers and sisters. And it's all because they won't clean their lives up. They won't obey the word of God. Jesus recalls an incident in Luke chapter 11, verse number 39. And the Lord said unto him, Now do ye, Pharisees, make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward parts are full of ravaging wickedness. Understand that here were the religious leaders, and I'm here to tell you that there are some religious leaders that are wolves, my brothers and sisters, pretending to be sheep, but yet ready to ravage and destroy and mislead the church of our Lord. Want us to accept any and everything. This is the reason why we need to understand we need Jesus in this boat. The Northwest Church, if it's going to stay afloat, it is going to stay afloat because of who Jesus is and who we are trying to be. See, I want you to understand we need to be like Jesus. And I explain why later in the lesson. Just a few weeks ago, I went to the services of my dear brother, my co-worker, and my friend, Jeremy and Sandra Husley. They experienced those storms. And the storm came when their adopted son, a person that they brought into their home, whom they loved. And they loved him so, and understand this. You know, he killed his parents. And yet, when I got a hold to the obituary, guess whose name was on the obituary? The son. The family, his mother, his brothers, his wife's father, all of them there weeping from the tragedy of the storm. And yet, they knew that their son and his daughter would want their son on the obituary. Wow, what kind of love is that? See, what I'm trying to get you to see and understand, we don't know where the storm will come from. We don't know what kind of trials are down the road with us. We just need Jesus. We need him. If we expect to get through the horrors of the storm. When storm clouds are rising, when oceans are raging. Give me a man that's capable of keeping my head above the waves. You see, I keep my eyes on the prize. Don't allow me to get distracted by the storms of life, because the storms are there to get us distracted from the course God has set us on. Anytime tragedy comes your way, anytime life gets difficult, you need to stay above the wave. God, don't take me out of the depths of the water. I know it's deep out there. Just keep my eyes above the waves. Enable me to see the prize that is before me, oh my God. I don't want to give up. I don't want to quit. I just want to be able to see what you have prepared for those who love you. I want to see it. And I need to stay focused on what Jesus has before me. I need to stay focused. This world is in desperate need of Jesus. Church, and let us never forget that we need Jesus in this boat. Because the storms of life are going to come. The ocean are going to rise. And we're going to find ourselves in the middle of the deep. And the only person that's encouraging us on is Jesus. It's Jesus. Where's your faith? Where's your faith? Now, let's take a look at the events ahead. Let's take a look backwards, I mean, and see what the disciples had to deal with. Now, the Bible said, and it came to pass on a certain day that they went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go to the other side. And they launched forth. When I began to contemplate on this thought here of launching out into the deep, I thought about the disciples. You know, because the Sea of Galilee, known as the Sea of Tiberias, why would Jesus want to go to the other side of the lake when everything appeared to be going well on that side? My reasoning for this question came from the study of the disciples and their behavior. Now, don't you know we got some behavior issues in the church? Behavior issues. Jesus had to deal with some behavior issues with his disciples. See, I understood their background, their childhood. They were raised as fishermen, according to Acts 4:13-15. They were uneducated, untrained men with seamen personalities. If you ever known a Navy man, then you know what a seaman personality is like. I had one good friend of mine tell me, he was raised in a Christian home all his life. One week in the Navy and he was cussing like a sailor. I had a personal friend of mine. One week in the Navy. Cursing like a sailor. Never heard his daddy curse or his mother. But 1 week in the Navy. Their lives were hard growing up. Challenging the sea every day for their boundary. For its boundary. Some nights without a catch, other nights with very few catches. Every day, it was back-breaking work. Can you understand the toughness and the roughness of the disciples that Jesus fought on. Can you understand that? Their character did not fit into the profile of what most people would consider good candidates for discipleship. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that God does not look at the outside of a man, but he looks into the heart and he sees what you are capable of. Aren't you glad to? At this time, the disciples were immature, ignorant of spiritual values, with a mindset set on worldly possession and worldly power, void of the heavenly principles, but filled with worldly wisdom. They were jockeying back and forth, seeking and searching for worldly power, not understanding the kingdom of Christ, but looking and understanding a worldly kingdom. Jesus clearly points out in John 18 and verse 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews." At a tragic time when Jesus needed his disciples, they all abandoned him. But Jesus was not focused on the things of the world. He was focused on a heavenly kingdom. When we look at his servant Peter, who was brash when he opened his mouth, even getting to the point of denying the Lord, James and John were called the sons of thunder, which means lively, impetuous spirit. These men were fishermen. And don't forget about Matthew, the tax collector, whom Jews hated. Jesus chose this man to be his disciple. And yet, we cannot forget about that charlatan, that traitor by the name of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed our Lord and Savior after eating with them and sleeping with them. I'm telling you, Jesus has some behavior issues amongst the disciples. Behavior issues, my brothers and sisters. Oh, yes. And you wonder, why would Jesus take this group to the other side? You know, after I studied these men, and I said, they probably raised that question. Man, why go to the other side? Well, let me tell you, if you go to chapter, that same chapter, and look starting at verse number 1, you begin to see that, man, there were crowds of people following Jesus throughout villages and town. A woman had been cured of seven demons or several demons by the name of Mary Magdalene. He was being supported by cousin's wife, and other people were coming out of their pocket, supporting them, taking care of them, ministering unto them. You know, I don't know too many preachers that want to leave a good church, especially when they are meeting his physical needs. Man, no. But Jesus tells his disciples, get in a boat. Let's go to the other side. Wow. with all these bad attitudes? Let me make a point here. Brothers and sisters, it's not about your attitude. It is about us working with you to help you get to the other side. It's not about what you used to be. It is about what you are right now. It's not about despising or rejecting you. It is all about loving and caring for your spirit. See, I need you to understand that. I don't care where you've been and what you've done in your past. Right now, it's all about us trying to get to the other side. And in order for us to get to the other side, we must launch out into the depths. We can't stay in shallow water and expect to be saved. I need you. You need me. Because sometimes the waves, the ragings of the storm tend to distract us. We need each other to keep one another on course. Sometimes life gets terribly hectic and vicious, but yet, as long as I know that my brothers and sisters are supporting and we support one another, then there is no reason why we shouldn't get to the other side. Even though I realize, according to the text, that Jesus got in the bottom of the boat, laid his head on a pillow, and went to sleep there. Went to sleep. Now, I know my Lord, he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knows. But is he concerned about the storms? No. You know, the storms are there to distract us. That's the reason why I'm saying just keep my eyes above the waves, man. Just let me see what the gold is, what the mission is, and set me on my course, Lord. See, I know that as long as we know where we're headed, and if Jesus is in the bottom of the boat, he's going to get us to the other side. He's going to get us there. But yet, here go the disciples. They launch out. And the Bible says it was like a storm that they had never experienced before. They were fishermen. See, I need you to understand that this lake, which is only a few miles wide and a few miles long, had what they call the Great Rift Valley. And what happens here is that this lake is surrounded by these high mountains, and there are several volcanoes there. And that wind would come off through these rifts in the valley and hit that lake and raise a terrible storm. And you know, you never knew when the storms were going to occur. They just came out of nowhere. And there, Jesus and the disciples in the middle of the lake trying to get to the other side, but yet it's like no storm they ever knew. And they were swamped with water. And the Bible says they were in jeopardy. In other words, they were afraid for their lives. But I want to say something to you here. When Jesus gives us a command and tells us to launch out into the deep, we shouldn't worry about the winds and the waters. We shouldn't worry about the tossing and turning of the sea. Our goal, our mission is to get to the other side. See, once we lose focus, we can easily be lost in the ragings of the water, in the ragings of the storm. We have to stop being like little children. See, when the disciples saw themselves in trouble, and they ran down to the bottom of the boat and they said, "Jesus, Jesus, do you care anything about us?" Well, Jesus had already given us an order. He's already told us where we need to go. Why are we trying to get there, church? Why are all these personalities creating division, dividing us and separating us? See, the storms have come and got us off course. They have distracted us from the course that we should be going. Distracted us. And we see churches that used to be a part of the brotherhood now doing their own thing. We have in a traditional worship, and we have in a modern day. When did we have the power to change the way God wanted us to worship? See, that's a storm. When did we start focusing more on numbers than the soul of men and women? When did we stop focusing on it is our objective to save souls? The reason why Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side is because a man over there on the other side by the name of Legion. Matter of fact, Matthew records there were two men. Man, they need our help. See, what is love all about? Love is about getting to the other side and helping somebody who is out of their minds. We realize the wickedness and the devastation that the storm has had on people's lives. We realize that they have been rooted up, torn up, and they are mixed up about how they should live their lives. Realize that they need us. Just keep my eyes above the waves, Lord. You know, I know it's deep out there, but you have ordered my steps, Father. Let me go to the other side. Let me go. I don't want to be held back. I want to fulfill your will in my life. That's all he wants from us. That's all he wants. And brothers and sisters, let me share something else. Heaven is on the other side. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and where I go, you go. Man, he left this world to go prepare a room for you in his Father's mansion. But you ain't going to get there staying on this side, and you're not going to get there if you're not willing to help somebody else. You know, you're not going to get there unless you are willing to practice the love that we talked about this morning. I want you to understand. We need to get to the other side. Let me share just a little story with you. And we'll come to a close. There were two men. They were in a little rowboat, and they decided that they wanted to cross Lake Michigan in this rowboat. And one of the men was big and strong and handsome like myself. Yeah. You may not think much of me, but I think a whole lot of me. The other one was a frail little fellow, you know, but they were friends. They were friends. They encouraged each other and talked to one another, so they decided that we're going to cross over to the other side of the lake. And they got in the boat. You know, the one guy was strong and husky, you know, and the other guy was small and frail, and as they got to rowing, the smaller guy got tired. And when the other guy was just warming up, man, come. So, you know, at first we are patient with one another because of our different behaviors. You know, we kind of be patient and the strong guy, I'm going to be patient, you know. Come on, I'm going to give him a few minutes and come on, let's go back to rolling. Encourage them, they rolled a little bit further. But you know, after you have worked, you get tired a lot quicker. And the little guy said, wait just a minute, I need to rest a little bit. But you know, as you are struggling trying to go somewhere, eventually patience runs out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Oh, I'm about tired of this. You know, come on. Come on, man. Come on. Let's get on across this lake. And they start back rowing, and the guy get tired again, and he goes to, you know how we are grumbling under our breath? We don't really want the other individual to hear us, but here we are. We're mumbling, and we are becoming more discouraged. See, I want you to understand that the storm is about to come, and the storm wants to distract us from our mission. Our mission is to get to the other side. Well, after he became so frustrated, he began to tell them, man, if you don't start rowing this boat, I'm going to jump out of here and swim to the other side. Man, don't leave me. Don't leave me. No, you better start rowing then. Well, I'm tired. And the stronger guy decided to jump out. Start swimming to the other side, leaving the smaller man in the boat. And as he was swimming, he failed to calculate the wind and the current. See, there's not only trouble on top of the water, but there's trouble in the water. And we have to understand when we go out there, that's why we need Jesus. Because the storm's just not out. It's in there as well. But Jesus has given us a command. Well, he out there, he's gotten so far that he's still too far from the shore to make it. See, I want you to understand, when you get tired and frustrated with somebody else, remember that it's hard to make it all by yourself. I need you to understand that. And he looked back and he saw the boat was too far back and the land was too far ahead. And there he drowned. But you know something? When we abandon one another, we can easily get discouraged ourselves. And the smaller man began to believe, I can't make this all by myself. So he just stopped rowing. And sooner or later, a storm of wind came and flipped the boat over. And he drowned. What's my point? My point, brothers and sisters, that we have to work together to get to the other side. See, if he'd have stayed in the boat and been patient with the weaker man, if he wouldn't have let his attitude, his behavior problem get to him, he'd have stayed right there in the boat, constantly considering that brother that was less fortunate, that brother that was weaker, and being patient with him. And they both